Today's daf is daf Lamed Hey. We're in the middle of a very universal kind of sugya, which is the sugya of the Libudim, contrasting the drushas in the approach of Ribuyin and Miyutin with the drushas in the approach of Klal Prat Uklal. And what we saw yesterday, in a very general sense, was that when it comes to the Nyanim of Nazir, we have, in fact, a very practical difference between the drushas of Klal Prat Uklal approach and the drushas of the Miyud and Riva approach, because we find that actually Rabbi Elazar holds Alain and Lulavim are also included in the Isser. So that would mean the grape leaves and the grape sprouts, they too are included in the Isser because they are included in the Ribui. And they're not Mumuet from the Miyud, because a single Miyud is only Mamayat, the thing which is the least reasonable to be Marbet in the Ribui. And that least thing would be Shavishta, which is actually hardened sprouts. Masha'imkin, if you darshan, b'derech klal prat uklal, then the klal and the prat and the klal only come to tell me things that are similar to the pratim, all of which are basically at least a pri or a tzeret of a pri. And we also even figured out that it wouldn't be gemar pri dafka, but that this drasha teaches us that it's sufficient to be similar to the pri, psolet pri, and that's all. And from that we were able to include grapes that were not fully formed, as both said, it weren't ripened, grapes that were ruined on the vine, either through infestation, or through insufficient exposure, or through to the sun, or through just having simply been parched to the point where they're never going to recover, if we cheat us in that. And so we have a tremendous enough community of halacha. The interesting additional point that the Gemara came up with was that it turned it into a universe. And it brought the extra Michartzanim ve'atzag at the end of the story to teach us the general rule that even though you would have thought that Prat and Klal itself are naturally interrelated, when you see a detail and you see something general, you would tend on your own to turn that into a set that is defined by the example. As human beings like to do that, they immediately see it as a pattern, they must be related. Comes along the third to say that is not a valid pattern. In other words, you need to have at least three elements in the pattern so that it be reasserted as a prat, klal, prat in order to darshan it. And if not, then you have no right to treat it in that way as a definition of what's inside of the set. Then you have to treat it as two separate elements, and it becomes a mosaf alakol, the klal after a prat, and then it would be basically the same as miyud v'riba. There are technical differences, but basically it would work in the same way. So that the other drasha that we had yesterday, Michartzanim v'atzag, which appeared in the Mishnah as telling me a brand new thing according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which was that even though when it comes to the other achilot, there's a din that you can eat anything, and you can be mitzarif anything, and you can eat a kezayit or a revit, as the case may be, depending on Mishnah Rishayna, Mishnah Kreina, or what shita we have in the Mishnah Rishayna, Mishnah Kreina, which we'll still get to discuss tomorrow. But certainly that drasha of Michartzanim v'atzag tells me something unique, that if you eat the two pits and the skin, you would be chayav on that, and only that way. Now, some learn that the chiddush is not only that way, but even that way. So that when it comes to the other things, you eat a kizayas, you're chayav, but less than a kizayas, you're not chayav. But if you eat b'chatzanim v'atzav, the chiddush here is that it's the equivalent of a birya in other places, and it's the equivalent of having eaten an entire organism. Because I have the chartzanim and the zag, and that's the essence of the organism. And then the rest is carrier, basically. So as the Torah is telling us, the fruit element, that's just a trick. That's an evolutionary trick to get animals to eat things and drop pips all over the place. But the actuality of what it is that I'm being mechayev you on is surprisingly not the fruit, but the birya. And the birya is the pips with the protective membrane, which is the skin. It's a fascinating idea. But that would mean, point out the achrenim, if that's the case, that it would have to be the pips and the skin of one grape, because otherwise they're not really related. You can't call something a birya if it's a piece of this and a piece of that. You're not going to put together a cockroach with a leg from one thing and a leg from another thing and turn it into a birya, right? So same thing over here. It would have to be from the same grapes. It comes out to be tremendous enough communities. How we understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But in any event, what's interesting is that yesterday we were using the Michartzanim, the Atzag, to tell me this new universal idea. You must see a properly formed prat klal uprat before you have a right to turn it into a prat klal uprat. And otherwise it's just basically unrelated pieces. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you can't do that, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, well, okay, the business about Michartzanim HaTzak, that's coming to talk about something else entirely. That's about pips and skins, you know, it's a special din. Well, it's a special din, I have no right to use it to teach me this halach of well-formed prat klal uprat. And this bothers the Gemara today, asks the Gemara. We're on the end of the first line, on Lamed Hey. And by the way, the word ve'ad, which doesn't, that isn't necessary, especially if we're learning it means both together. So ve'ad, we learned yesterday, that means to include the gel that's around the pit. So, but anyway, he learns v'chatzanim v'atzak, lo mash enu chayam, at shokha shnei chatzanim v'zak. So then that means he doesn't have this extra drasha to teach me the halach of prat, klalu prat, correct? So then how does he know that? How does he know to turn this into a prat, klal, and prat, and darshan it the way that we darshan it? Says the Gemara, well, first of all, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he holds that, in fact, we should darshan this as a miyad v'riva. And if we do, then he would end up including also the pieces of the vine, the shoots that are edible, and the leaves. Maybe he does. Maybe he holds exactly the way Rabbi Elazar holds. Could be. Yeah, the truth is, that's first thing Gemara says. First of all, Gemara says, look, you know, Sarmalak Rabbi Elazar, the Dorish Miyat Variba. I must point out to you that the Rishonim actually point out that this is a big leap. You don't have to say that he holds like Rabbi Elazar, that Darshan's Miyat Variba. All you have to say is that he holds that this is not a Prat Klal or Prat. He holds that it's a Prat or Klal. Because a Prat or Klal itself ends up being the equivalent of Miyat Variba. So who's to say that all over he Darshan's Miyat Variba? So some indeed say it doesn't mean necessarily that he holds like him, literally in every last element of Darshan, but in the same way that Rabbi Elazar Darshan's Miyat Variba doesn't use this as Prat Klal or Prat, neither does he. So with whatever implications, you want to say that the implications are that that would include grape leaves, so be it. Is there something so dramatic about that? We know that there's a shita like that. So maybe this represents a variation on a theme. So who's to say? You can't go ask somebody, and how do you know that darshan this is a prat klal or prat? He doesn't. Who's to say that he did? That's one possibility. The other possibility, says the Gemara, the Iba'itimah, if you want to, you could say that, no, actually, he may agree entirely that this is indeed a prat klal or prat, the way the Rabbanan learn it, and that we don't include the grape leaves and the sprouts and so on. But, so, how does he know it? Where does he get this idea that you have this well-formed prat klal uprat? Because he says, look, what's your question? The question that you have is Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah uses this for something else entirely. That's all very nice about the words, but what about the placement? You may need these words to tell me that halacha, but put them together with the rest of the pratim. If it's just additional pratim, why the heck? You start up with a whole list of pratim, move into Mikol HaSheyetzei, and then go back to Mikhatzanim Batzai. That's weird. So therefore, the placement teaches you that there's a whole different issue going on here behind the scenes. It's not only the content, but it's also the structure. And therefore, if all the Torah wanted to do with Bichatzanim Batzak is tell me this big Kiddush, that if you've got a pips and skin situation that you'll be chayev, use those three words, put them together with the rest of the thing about Yayin, Chometz Yayin, and Anavim, Lachim, Vivashim, Vichatzonim, Vatzak, and then say, Mikol HaSheyetzei, Vigefenah Yayin. L'ma Yilchot HaKatvei Batra HaKlal. Why did the Torah throw it in over here after saying, Mikol HaSheyetzei, Vigefenah Yayin? Must be, L'ma Yilchot HaShemamina, L'ma Dine Bichlal Uprat. So I still hold that the placement is sufficient to teach me the Kiddush of Prat Klal Uprat, and that's it. Well, now, wait. So then, what right did you have to have the other drasha? I mean, if you know that you need this in order to teach me the halacha prat klal uprat, how can you be sure that there's additional information contained in here? Well, we got to say something and put it here. So we said this. But maybe the whole point is the structure. How do you know to darshan this special halacha of skin and pips? Ah, because it's weird. If it's just telling you things that are in the grape, why is one of them lashon rabim and one of them lashon yachid? If it's just additional pratim, so say chatzanim zagim. We're saying chatzan v'zag. But what does chatzanim v'adzag? Oh, so therefore it must be also hinting that there's a specific drasha. A specific drasha, which indeed is this halacha of Rabbi Ben Yaakov, shnei chatzanim v'zag. And then there's also the placement, which tells us the halacha of prat klal uprat. So let's see that inside. Imkei lichtov, o shnei chatzanim, o shnei zagim. Keep them the same. Or write chatzan v'zag. That doesn't strike you as trying to say something. Shmamina. The midrash base. So therefore, from the combination, we see that there's two things we're meant to derive from here. First of all, klaprat, what we just said, klaprat, prat klaloprat. In other words, v'ganami le midrash bein, it's telling us you must also look at the actual words to teach you. A beautiful example, again, of information density that is combined for placement, content, contrast, context. Excellent. Okay. So now we don't have to say that there's necessarily a relationship between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's approach and the question of the klal, whether we hold of klal or of prat, klal or prat. That's the Gemara. Okay, but Rabbi Elazar certainly examines Nazir and finds it to be not a case of prat, klal or prat, right? We use Nazir as the prime example of this limud called prat, klal or prat. So, I mean, according to Rabbi Elazar, who learns the parasha of Nazir with Miut and Riva, well, prat, klal or prat, minole. How does he know that the Torah ever would darshan anything without prat, klal or prat? Now, this is a strange question, because up until now we've assumed that we have two mutually exclusive ways of looking at the Torah. Relationship of sets, or relationships of unrelated ribuyim and miyutim. So what in the world makes the Gemara think, all of a sudden, that we have to find a reason that he would darshan prat, klal or prat? I mean, maybe he simply doesn't. Maybe he just darshans everywhere ribuyim and miyutim. This is a weird assumption that the Gemara is making. How does he know? He doesn't know. Who says he knows? What gives you that idea? So Tosfos says, look, if he didn't hold of the concept of sets in the Torah, we would have found 100 examples of machlokasin, where the Gemara takes for granted relationships of sets, and we never find it. Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, no, no, it's not true, and tell us the difference between darshaning it with ribuy and miyutim. For heaven's sakes, just think of all the places in Shas where all of our halachas derive from an analysis of sets. So it must be that he holds of sets. Now, we know that he doesn't hold of sets where they're constructed along klal prat or klal, because that's the ribuy and miyutim. So therefore, there's got to be a trigger for him to learn it in a different way. And that must be that be'etzem, he agrees to prat, klal, uprat. It's just that where you've got the three in a row in this situation, that this is delicate, where you have three in a row in which the limit comes before and after what appears to be either a generality as a set or a ribuy, there he learns prat, klal, uprat, and not ribuy or miyuti. Why? We'll wait till the end of the sugya to see. Tosfos explains what the difference is between having something surrounded by detail or having detail surrounded by something general. There is a difference. But in any event, it's got to be that there is something that will trigger, even according to Rav Elazar, a relationship of set in the Torah. What is that trigger? That's basically what the question is. Now, furthermore, the Re says, even if you look at our sugya, forget about bringing in the fact that we never find Rav Elazar arguing on the whole concept of sets. There's also something else that's very strange. Let us say that he would hold that in the case where you've got ribuy, miut, you also can darshan a miut and a ribuy and a miut, the way we are darshaning the prat and the klal and the prat. Okay? If you could, will you explain to me why he would utilize the drasha micharsanim ba'atzak to tell me something else, instead of using it to tell me that this is a miut, ribuy, and miut? In other words, if you've got a choice, and you believe that all over, when the Torah gives you an example, that example is meant to be mamayat something. When the Torah gives you a generality, that's meant to be marva something. And this would be true no matter how it's constructed. Example, general, example is exactly the same as general, example, or example, general, makes no difference. So let me ask you something. You are now standing in the place of Rabbi Elazar. You come to the parsha of Naziris, and you see a classic construction, an example, a general rule, another example. So what should you do? You should use the second miyut to say, well, the first miyut excluded Shabishna, the second miyut should exclude grape leaves. Instead, you say, well, no, actually, I don't see that as a second miyut. I see that as a new special halacha of chatzanim and zag. That's not reasonable if there's a universal way of looking at miyuts and ribuy, says the Re. Therefore, it is clear that there is no such universal rule. Again, why that's true, we'll discuss later. But there is no such thing as universal rule called miyut, ribuy, miyut. There is ribuy, miyut, ribuy. There is miyut, ribuy, ribuy, miyut. But there is no miyut, ribuy, miyut. Therefore, we know that that rule, because it doesn't exist, either offers you a trigger for prat, klal, uprat, or it's to be used for some other drush, like chatzanim adzak, shnei chatzanim vizak. Okay? Is this clear? I recognize that there's a lot of new ideas here, but this is so immensely fundamental to Kol HaTorah Kula, and it is so beautiful to see how these elements are derived and how we look at the information in the Torah, it's really good to try to get it straight, even though it's complicated.
Does it matter the total potential of the set? It would seem like if you had a huge thing, you would lean more towards Kol Prada.
Well, let's see. We'll get to that later. We'll get to that. Of course it matters. So therefore, we're taking for granted that he does have such an approach somewhere. And the way that we're understanding the question, minole, does not mean from where in the Torah does he derive it. It's minole, where is the hint to him that would trigger it? That's the point. Okay, I'm just telling you, I'm giving you on a silver platter an approach that works well in the sugya. It's no one particular approach, but I think it's this, a selection of the best possible way of reading this. So minole, what would trigger, according to Rabbi Elazar, the difference between knowing that something is a prat, klal, or prat, or a ribuy and a miyut? Or Rabbi Avu, you know, nafkale mi haikra. Now Tosis points out also later on that nafkale does not mean literally he learns out a rule, but that in this pasuk we have an example of something that teaches him this. And what is that? And here we get to another fascinating issue. All over in Shas, the Gemara uses words that could be looked at as details, uses them as klalim, which is fascinating. So for instance, we'll say, mina beima is a klal. Bakar betzon is a prat. But if you think about it, mina beima isn't really such a good klal, because mina beima is telling you out of the klal of betzon, which should be a prat, right? So that is another fundamental machlokas, which is related. And that is that Rabbi Elazar holds the Rabbanan oversimplify. And they keep turning things that are actually prat klal and prats into klal, prat, and klals because of their mistake in not analyzing words that actually imply pratim in klalim. So according to him, therefore, the reason why, coincidentally, in a lot of places, we do see the Torah analyzing things in terms of sets, the Chachamim analyzing things in terms of sets, and he doesn't argue. It's not because he agrees to the relationship of a set called klal, prat, and klal, because he doesn't. He dashes that with me at the Rebbe. It's because he holds that it is not a klal, prat, or klal. It's a prat, klal, or prat, and since there's no such thing as a miyut, ribuy, miyut, therefore he is stuck at examining that particular thing as a set. And so it ends up meaning the same thing to him, which is, don't be marva, anything different than the prat, that's be similar to the prat, ke'in a prat, as a klal, prat, or klal, mean to the rabbanan. Later, the Gemara is going to ask, what the heck is the difference between a klal, prat, or klal, and a prat, klal, or prat? But l'maisa, according to him, we, in the places where he'll agree with the Rabbanan, it's a coincidence. In the sense that he's agreeing, but not because of the reason that they're saying it. He's ending up with the same results, or almost the same results, very subtle differences, and therefore we don't see the machlokasin. But he's building it on a different analysis of the interrelationship of the information. So here's an example, says Rabbi Avu. It says, V'chiyitin ish el re'ehu chamor oshor oseh. Okay, now, Tosfos has a different, a little bit of a different reason, reading over here. So he says like this, we darshan, yitain, is a klal. Okay, so yitain is klal, and because it means anything, yitain anything. Huh? Here's another example of where Rebbe Elazar says, wait a minute, klal. There's no object, how can there be a klal? There's only a verb, yitain. You can't say that a verb, because it's assuming an object, where an object follows in the pasuk, is a klal. That's nuts. Where's the klal? Tell me where the klal is. How can a verb be a klal? You've got to have an object that's a klal. So this is another example of where it is that he will be makbid to learn exactly the opposite of the Rabbanan and yet come out with basically the same structure, that is to say, the same information out of a prat klal or prat structure. So he says, yitain, that's not a klal. Absolutely not. So we start at the beginning. Okay, so he says, the klal is chamor, shor, v'sed, which are all prat, okay? So then it says, v'chol behema. Aha! Now we're talking. So we first have a list of pratim. Okay? The pratim are chamor, shor, set. Then we have v'chol. V'chol, that's interesting. V'chol means anything. Wow, so now there's a rule. And then it says, behema. Oh, now wait a minute here. So that means that we've got, I mean, there's lots of things besides, I've got to pick up a guy's wallet, you know? You give someone a wallet to watch. I mean, Torah doesn't talk about that? Of course. All of that needs to be included in an analysis of this structure. But this structure is prat klal u prat, not klal prat u klal. That's Tosfos' girsa. Now, the way we have it is that the v'chol behema is the klal, and the lishmar is a prat, which is crazy. Because lishmar is a verb again. And if we're claiming that he doesn't analyze verbs, so then why would lishmar be considered to be now a prat? This is why Tosfos rejects this girsa, and he makes it very consistent. Okay, and anyway, what is prati about Mishmar? That's weird. I mean, Mishmar is a very general word, right? I mean, you're pushed into this awful situation, which the others who have our girsa have to say, that, well, you know, a behema, that includes anything, so that could be your pet bear, you know? But, I mean, Mishmar means it's got to be watchable. Like, go ahead and watch the bear. Just this morning, we find a bear's trainer was eaten up by his bear. It's mommy's this morning. Very interesting. That's the Mepharish's shot. That guy's got a bear. A bear can eat him up. So there's no Mishmar. This morning, it's wild. Okay. All right. But the way Tosfos has it, huh? It's in the news, yeah.
Yeah.
Trainer got eaten by the bear. You can be sure that they're going to double their attendance with this lottery.
I thought that was honey with a movie there. Yes, he'd meet. And he killed
that in the
sweet. Okay, anyway, gentlemen. So the Tosfos' girsa holds together a lot better over here. So this tells us that it's a klal prat. Prat klal or prat. Iyatadan elakeina prat. So here we have his example of the relationship of a set to details that define. Yes. Rava Amar, Rava says, I'll give you an example. Again, even though he says not Lemihai, he's pointing out to a different kind of trigger, you see. In other words, Rabbi, he's not arguing. Rabbi Avu as an example of what triggered Prat Klat Klal Uprat to Rabbi Elazar. The hint to him was as soon as he saw the Rabbonan using a verb as a klal, he said, oh, wait a minute. And therefore, he ends up with a different structure. According to Rava, we have another example where there is a limiter, such as min, right? So something that is taken out of something else can't be a klal by definition, because it's limited. When he sees the Rabbanan using a min as a klal, he says, oh, wait a minute here. That's actually a prat. So then he starts looking at it and says, is there a prat at the end? Then it's a prat, klal, or prat. Unless I can figure out some other usage for the prat at the end, then darshan the rest is a riboy, as a miyot and riboy, you see? So therefore, by the way, there's some discussion of how come this prat klal or prat got left out of Rabbi Yishmael's mitzvahs.
Is it in the 30s?
It's not in the, no, it's so weird. It's not included in his Yudgimel mitzvahs at all.
Isn't it larger? 30?
Yeah, but this is Rabbi Yishmael that we're saying. So what happened to it? So it's Enochinami, Rabbi Yishmael, I think he writes in the klalim. But Rabbi Yishmael doesn't hold this, of the prat klal or prat. But others learn that since at the end of the sugya, it turns out that they're almost precisely the same. When Rabbi Shmuel was listing klal prat and klal, he didn't mean necessarily as opposed to prat klal or prat. He just meant to say a relationship of set that's defined is, for instance, klal prat or klal. But I'm not going to call it a different mita because it boils down to the same thing, just with different stresses. So it is included in the Yud Gimel Midot.
So it's a prat within that klal.
That's right. You're going to drive us crazy.
Trying to get a handle on it.
You know, the trouble of saying
there makes much bigger nafkaminas.
More than the.
Yeah. All right. So, the other example, says Rav, is here. Take a look at this. The im min hatson. Now, when you see that word min, do you know that it's referring to a prat? Absolutely, because the word min means not everything, okay? From something. So it's basically a prepositional clause. It's taking for granted that there's the object, because you can't say min without the object. But that element of the object is very specific, because it's only out of a set of objects. So the min now begins, says Rava, the prat. Now when you conclude the clause by saying hatson, so hatson is a very general thing. If the Torah wanted to tell you a particular prat, say so. If you're telling me a prat by making it sort of, well, there's a list of prat, you're going to have to figure out, min. And what is the set? Well, the set is of tzong. But it's not all tzong. So then that's already telling me, prat and kalal. And then you go back to talk about kivasim ve'izim. Okay. So now you're telling me more pratim. So then that means we've got a prat, kalal uprat. Iyata dan elakeina prat. Now exactly what that means, by the way, in these past two examples, is a subject of a great deal of controversy. In other words, what are we including that otherwise wouldn't be included? Whether it's we're including, it's teaching us only tmimim, is it teaching us the age that the behemoth have to be in order to be ro'ui, and so on. But that's not our sugya here. This is Vachim sugya. Fine, whatever it is, know that it's a machlokas rishoni, but the important point to us is that yes, there is indeed a concept of prat klal prat, according to Rebbe Lozer, and we have examples of various triggers that would force him to say that something is a prat klal prat. So in other words, the preferred way of darshaning the Torah, where it's accessible, is with miyutim and ribuyim. But there's one place I mean, there's many places I'd say, but there's one type of relationship, which is prat klal prat, that even those who darshan ribui miut have no choice, since there's no such thing as miut ribui miut, they have no choice but the darshan is a prat klal prat. So this is how they were, basically, we showed this is where they were mekabel the midas, and it's not that you start by figuring this out. If you're mekabel that the derech is ribui miut, then you're left with this option and only this option in understanding the nature of sets of the Torah. Right, that's true. That's true. You'll need another trigger to tell me how to view the information. I mean, obviously, it makes a tremendous difference in life, these two approaches, right? As you can see. Because a klal prat or klal really limits the amount of chaos. So it's a question of how creation develops overall. If it's klal prat or klal, then there are certain things that are never really going to go anywhere. Because they're just sort of virtual bursts of energy that don't fit into anything. But you have miut and ribui. It's a whole different way of looking at life. It's not just it's a different way of looking at information. Information is a different way of looking at life. And lemaisa turns out to have tremendous afkaminas in terms of hashkafas. And a lot of these things do, in which they make all the difference in the world. But again, there's very few people that bother with that, as the Rabbi Chopra used to say. The only one who's consistent in his approaches is the Rambam, so I won't bother learning anybody else. Omar le Rabbi Yehuda mi diskarta le Rava. Why? You did something really strange over there. You were looking for an example of a limiter, and that would be the trigger for prat klal prat, right? But it's really strange. You opened up the Chumash Vayikra, which begins with a limiter. You skipped over that, and you went to the second one, the Iminatzon. Why didn't you read the first pasuk? Imina Behima. Was something wrong with Mina Behima? Why didn't you go? It start at the beginning. Vilayos Minadenkra. Read it from the earlier pasuk, which is the second pasuk in Chumash Vayikra. Basically, the first pasuk that talks about anything other than Vayikra Shema Vayisha. It says over there, the imin. Now, you can do the same thing you did with tzon. Min is prat. Habeima is klal. Bakar v'tzon is now again a prat. So prat, klal, prat, ela, yadadan, ela, again a prat. And then you would be able to say that you cannot bring anything that is a non-domesticated animal, so a chaya would be excluded, and I would include things, even if they're perhaps ill or old or whatever, but whatever we're dashing that already would be as welcome. So you could have done the same thing over here. Omar Lay said, Rava, no, you can't. No, you can't. Because, what are you going to say? That min ha-beima, the min, could possibly be telling me that beima does not include chaya? No. The word beima means chaya. So therefore, mina behema would automatically mean either behema or chaya from the groups of things called behemas and chayas. How could you possibly use that as a prat, where the prat does not imply behema as opposed to chaya? I'm sorry. So, now, you can't use that as a trigger for prat kala prat, to be mamayat chaya. Look, I would have said to you, if you tried to bring it from there, ha behema, what are you trying to tell me? That ha behema doesn't mean chaya? So it's the same thing, basically. Right? We have the famous example. Zoda beima asher tochelu, hayal, v'tzvi, v'mar, lists of all the things, including, immediately, tzvi, which is a chaya. Omar lei, said Rabbi Yehuda v'diskarta. Now, wait, don't spring that old one on me. Chaya v'chlau beima, what, you're going to try to apply that to this? I mean, where the whole context is telling you otherwise? Bakar v'tzon? I mean, isn't it make it clear that the first prat is there to teach you that the min has got to be related to the last prat, which are all examples of domesticated animals of the type that come under the general rubric beima? So how could you say such a thing? If it's only bakar v'tzon, you mean not bakar, you mean not tzon. So clearly, the first min has got to be referring to things that are similar also. So I don't think that's a good answer. Okay, he left that problem hanging. He doesn't like the fact that the first prat would have to be defined minei ube as a detail that would define the set. There's an important point over here, which is a subtle point, between Rava and Rabbi Yehuda v'diskarta. Rabbi Yehuda v'diskarta says, all that we need to find in Rav Elazar is a trigger to teach us that the Torah wants us to look at this as a set. Rava says, that's not true. We need to have information in both the opening prat and the closing prat that would define the set in order for it to be a set. Since mina beima doesn't define anything out, the fact that the last prat does is insufficient. Rav Yehuda v'diskarta would hold that, yes, it is. Because all I know now is that the way it's written is teaching me, look, you're meant to look at this as a set, okay? How do I know it's in the set? Well, the only information it's given you is Bakar Vitzon. So now you know it's only Beimah Nat Chaya. You see, so there's a difference in a subtle understanding of what Rav Elazar is looking for. Is he looking only for a structural trigger, or is he looking for an informational trigger? But that's an aside, because essentially, we're both agreed, Rav and Rav Yehuda, that there is a trigger that is caused by a limiter. Okay? That's a shita. And Rabbi Avu says, you don't need necessarily a limiter, there are triggers, there are other triggers. Now, says the Gemara, okay, getting back to the main issue, we started off with a drasha, before we got into all the details, started off with a drasha, according to Rabbanan, and we said, well, grape leaves not, and grape sprouts not, but you could have immature grapes, and you could have wormy grapes, and you could have the goo, and all of those things. When we asked you a question, and we said, and maybe it even needs that to be finished, so you proved me, no, it doesn't have to mean that it's finished. But what you're telling me is that means that the Torah is teaching me that when I have a relationship to a set, I do not necessarily have to find the common denominator that is the complete common denominator. It's sufficient to find a common denominator. Because if I needed to look at the common denominator literally, I would have no excuse for calling this the set of all things which are peirot or pasul peirot. I would have to say this is the set of all things that are fully formed peirot and psulim of things that were fully formed. But I don't. I understand that it's very nice in theory. Is it true? I mean, it sounds good. How do you know that that's the truth? How do you know that the Rabbanan, when they look at a set, don't look at the set as being demanding of a complete consistency of all of the elements that you'll find? Let's say five different pratim were given. You have to find the common denominator that runs across perhaps all of them. How do you know you have a right to choose two out of those things? Three out of those things, one out of those things. Who's to say? So, Minol and Dalfi, who says that that's true? Well, I'm going to give you an example. And the reason that I explained the Gemara the way I just did is based on the Rabbeinu Peretz. The Rabbeinu Peretz says, this is mad. We're about to bring an example of Klal, Prat, or Klal. We're not going to bring an example of Prat, Klal, or Prat. We're going to bring an example of Klal, Prat, or Klal. And that's going to teach us Minol and Dalfi. There are thousands of examples of Klal, Prat, or Klal. It's ridiculous. It's the price of Rabbi Shmuel. Are we suddenly coming to ask, and who says that there's such a thing as sets in the Torah? Everybody knows that. Therefore, that can't be the question, says Rabbi Peretz. The question must be, how do we know that we are allowed to darshan a set without demanding an absolute common denominator in the set from the example? That's the question. For that, we needed to look into this case, because here it's very bolate that we do not demand complete consistency of saying it has to match up all of the examples it's given us. So what we have over here is the Tanya. V'natata kesef b'chol asher ta'aven hafshecha. Now this is a din, you're taking your ma'aser she'ini money, which by the way, tomorrow is the last day to get rid of, so it's perfect timing. The vidui ma'aser is, we're ready to say tomorrow. So if anybody has a prut chamura, be sure to get to the Yama Malach. Or you can grind it up, throw it down the toilet, whatever you'd like. Or you could be mechalal it on sugar, and then pour the sugar down the toilet. Yeah, you still got to do it. As far as I know, I don't know, maybe they do this as a service for you. And then they say the Bidu Meiser for everybody, too. Oh, that would be a chifo. You know, do they put on tefillin for you also when it's necessary? Could be. I don't know. I don't know exactly what they do. But for those of us who just do things the old-fashioned way, not over the internet, this is, this is how you got to do it. But there may be a virtual Bidu Meiser. I don't know. Anyway, so here is the Torah tells us what to do with the money from your chilul ma'asot. Okay. You bring come up to Yerushalayim and you use the money. Look at this. For anything you like. That's about as big a klal as ever in my life. Anything you like. Wow. Uh-oh. Of course, there's always a hatchet thrown in there. As long as it's babakar, ubatson, b'yayin, uveshechana, that's all a prat, right? But don't think we want to be too limiting about this. So now we got klal. So we got a klal, prat, uklal. The rule is, iatadam elekeina prat. So, ma prat mefurash. Pri mi pri. Figidule karka. What we look at over here is a common denominator in which things, first of all, reproduce. So all of the things that we're speaking of over here are things that reproduce, either sexually as animals or sexually as plants. Now this is important because there are things that reproduce asexually. And that's going to be a question of whether they're included over here. So what would be the din of fungus, for instance? Suppose you like mushrooms. Can you go out and buy portobello mushrooms with your mice? Well, we might be getting into trouble on that issue. Okay? But so all these things now reproduce sexually, and they're all gidule karka. Okay? So afko primi pri vigidule karka. Therefore, all things that we're going to include are, need to be things that are primi pri, and they're also gidule karka. So they have to grow on the, when we say grow on the land, we don't mean they grow out of the land. I mean, obviously, the examples that we gave include animals that, when last time I noticed, there weren't any trees off of which we picked the cows. But nonetheless, we view them as gidule karka in the sense that they grow on the earth, out of the fruit of the earth, or more profoundly, as the Avudram points out, the reason that they're called gidule karka is because in the description of the evolution of these animals in Mycobaraceous, we only speak about let the earth produce. But when it comes to other things, it says let the water produce. Well, water produces. Then, and even though the Gemara Chulin points out that there seem to be midway things between things that are earth-oriented and water-oriented. For instance, what about birds? It's a contradiction of my separation. And therefore the Gemara says, well, you notice there's still scales on the feet of the birds. That's because they represent a midway development between mammals and fish. So there are things that are similar. Now, the things that are similar, it hasn't taught us anything about birds, but we're going to include birds because of this cooperative club. Okay, so birds are also included. Even though over here, you buy chicken, you can buy chicken with your miser anyway. Okay? So as long as it's pre-mi-pre, figidule karka. But that doesn't mean that we demand absolute consistency, because if we demanded absolute consistency, we would say, now, wait, just hold on a second over here. I mean, it's true that birds reproduce, it's true that birds eat things off the ground, but they're not exactly the same thing. Or we could say, well, it's true in general, fungus reproduce. I don't know if you'll call it pre-mi-pre exactly. I guess you could view those little pods as pre-mi-pre. But again, how strict are we in the interpretation? So we're not 100% strict, says Rabbeinu Peretz. In which case, we're looking over here for another fine example of such a thing. We're not necessarily strict in every last detail. And therefore, it is true that we still dash and sets correctly, but we were right in saying that we don't have to find a common denominator that runs completely consistency along all of the dinim. Okay, what would we exclude? I forget that. There is some question, by the way, actually, about fungus. But one thing is for sure. There's two levels to the exclusion. Let's say I was dealing with a miyat and a rebu. Would I exclude fish? Oh, no. I would say, if I have a miyat, you know what I'll exclude? I'll exclude water. You cannot buy meheden with your mice money. You cannot buy salt with your mice. That is completely off the wall. It doesn't reproduce at all, doesn't share the organic structure, any of these things. Those things, yeah, those things are excluded. But certainly not to exclude fish. But if you're learning it as a klal prado klal, you're going to exclude fish. This is similar to the elements that we did over here. If you're learning out with me at Rivoli, you're only going to exclude hardened stalks. But you're going to include leaves and shoots. If you're learning it as a klal prado, you're going to exclude them, those things as well, because you want things that are similar to the actual perot. So here is an example of klal prado klal that is structured the same way the prat klal prat is structured here in Nazir. And that's what we're looking for. Okay. Says the Gemara, now you got me really confused. Because, I mean, what you're saying is that a klal prat uklal ke'in prat adaimina. By the way, you see in this Gemara, the Gemara doesn't even flinch for a moment to say, now hold on a minute, I was talking about a prat klal prat and you bring me a raya from a klal prat uklal. What's the matter with you? Doesn't bother the Gemara at all, right? Why? Because again, the underlying issue in the sugya is the structure of information. I don't care what it is that triggers the relationship of a detail to a set. But what I do need to know is, but what's the bottom line when there is such a relationship? Show me that I could believe that the Torah is structured as sets and nonetheless is not demanding in the interpretation of the contents. I don't care where you bring that from. So in Afinami, there are Bonin Darshan Klau Prado Klau. That's fine. Would they therefore assume that such a relationship is possible? Yes, okay, then why not say it's true by prat klal uprat, you see? But that means that we're only asking only by the Rabbonim here. And that's how Tosfos points out. We've moved away now from Rabbi Elazar. You said before the Rabbonim darshan this way, when it comes to Nazir, show me that indeed they have that type of relationship. Okay, I'll show it to you for klal prat klal. I don't need to show it to you from here. Now, says the Gemara, but now you've got me confused. In other words, what you've done now is that we've got a klal prat uklal. We're darshaning ke'en ha-prat, right? So then, So what is the purpose, then, of the last klal? Because, I mean, I know now that you're telling me if I've got a prat klal or prat, I would do the same thing. So you're telling me that if you hold that the way to darsh the Torah is through klal or prat, so then what is the purpose that's being served by adding another klal? I don't understand. Now, you obviously don't need it in the sense that only if you've got a lot of stress on the generality, then you have the right to darshan sets. That's not true. In prat, klal, or prat, you've got to stress on the details, not on the generality. So, Tosis explains, we are not asking. We're just explaining. The answer is obvious, because we already know it. But the Gemara wants to read your mind. Make sure that you understand the steps of him. Your question is, what's the point of the last klal? The point of the last klal is indeed only Mayahani, Ahani la Asufe called Adamila. Look, again, if you wouldn't have had that last klal, what would you have had? A klal or prat. But if you've got a klal or prat, the rule would be that the prat is not to be seen as the definition of a set. Rather, it's to be seen as the content of the set. This is the klal of the set of this prat. Period. There's no ke'in. No ke'in at all. For it's giving you an exceedingly limited set. Therefore, I need the last klal, lo usufe, called a domile. I need it to teach, to be marve, things that are similar. Okay. Now, furthermore, I'm sure you're thinking that if a prat klal uprat teaches me ke'in a prat, okay, what is the last prat doing? Ah, exactly the same issue in the inverse. Prat abatra mayahani, I'll tell you. Ilav prat abatra, because if it wouldn't be for that closing prat, then I would immediately assume that the klal is meant to be musaf ala prat and take its place to be marba everything. And again, I don't know to look at it as a set defined by an opening prat. Okay, so now I know that. Now, what's bothering me is the way we just came out. A klal prat a klal and a prat klal a prat are exactly the same thing. So michti, train klali uprata, v'train prati uklala, end up teaching me to analyze the sugya as a set, right? So ke'in prata dainina. We're going to darshan it according to ke'in aprat. So then what's the difference? Ma'ike b'ini dini. What's the difference? How come sometimes we darshan klal prat uklal, and sometimes we darshan prat klal uprat? I mean, there's got to be rhyme and reason for the Torah's presentation. Ah, says the Gemara, because, you see, it teaches us, the structure teaches us how careful to be, how strict to be in the interpretation of the contents of the set. Obviously, if you teach that what we have over here is a set relationship that is built on double klal to prat, it's going to be different than a hint to darshan that way that's built of double prat to klal. Because if it's double prat to klal, it's telling you more is in the detail. If it's double klal to prat, it's telling you more of it is in the general. Therefore, I assume almost on my own, as a natural assumption, that in a case, ika, the difference would be that you would tarten klal your prat. If you have two klals with a prat in between, so then any type of common denominator with the prat would suffice. Because it's stressing to look and make the set as big as possible. No, bigger, bigger, bigger. More klal, more klal. So therefore, iika prat to domile afilo b'chad sad, marbina. If you would have a list of various items, you could have one of those things in common and would be sufficient to be included within the set. Now, this is not strictly true, I must warn you. And Tosis explains that what it's saying is only where we can weigh the common denominator. In other words, we need to give a weight in terms of importance to the common denominators. There are some common denominators where there's no way to weigh one element over another element. They're both highly significant, and so on. Maybe there's four elements that are highly significant. So we find many cases where this rule seems to be violated, but that's because we're not given hints. There's another rule in the Torah, remember, which is shkulimim v'yavo shneihem. Well, you don't have enough information. You have no right to distinguish one thing from another arbitrarily, or because you have some gut feeling about it. So there, for all intents and purposes, you need a matchup with anything of equal significance. That's still going to be true. But nonetheless, if I can make myself a list, and I know there's a hierarchy of significance, and I can prove that hierarchy from somewhere. So then, if I've got a klal, prat, klal, so then if I've got a prat, even if it's similar to one issue, that's sufficient. Whereas if I've got a stress on the pratim, trei prati v'chlala, then only if the prat matches up to two. Now this is two or both. There may be more. In other words, we'll have to understand whether this is demanding two out of three or three out of three. Two as opposed to one or all as opposed to some. So there, i'ika prata d'dami mishnei tzadim marbinan. Bechatzad lo marbinan. Okay, so we've got ourselves a heck of a lot of information about how to look at drasha so far. We'll continue, that I see that I'm sort of losing my audience here, and we'll continue this analysis later, but I really think this is one of the most exciting dapim we've had in a long time, even more exciting than those closing words of the Dorim, you know. Those were nice anecdotes, but this is information that will carry you through life and beyond.
It's only an excitement that comes when the complexity is understood. Now it's just the working through it. And once one happens, then that enjoyment is kind of like a...
People like that won't enjoy life. They have to wait till they die to be happy.
No, not everybody.
I mean, we're trying to... There are people like that.
There is a club of enjoyment.
But he's not one of them. That's clear. This guy loves every minute.
There's a club of enjoyment. And within that, there's an enjoyment that comes when one finally gets that.
That's true. That's an additional enjoyment.
So that's
look, there's climax and there's foreplay, and it's all tyrant, basically. Okay? And it's called that. It's just tyrant. That's it. So we got it. Okay. Time, gentlemen, for our rest. Although Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, the Kamukim Lahaim Echartzadim Vazag Lomar, Sheno Chayavat Shokal Shnei Echartzadim Vazag, Prata Minale, Savak Rabbi Elazar maybe, the Dorish Miyad Veriba. Well, you know what, maybe not. Vibay Deima Karabona. And nonetheless, he's got no problem. Because he says, look, the Yitzhak Adai took the Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azar alone, and that's the only reason for Echartzadim Vazag. So they licked the Verachman Alay Mechatzanim Vatzag, Rabbi Prat in the first place. Lamay Yochadakatve now, after it already wrote the Klal, Bata Klal. Shema Amina, that's coming to teach me one additional piece of information, namely the Medine Beklal of Prat. What do you mean one additional? Maybe that's it? The Emil Kule Lachuniat? No. Because Imken Lichtov, either Lashon Rabbi, or Shnei Chatzanim, Shnei Zagim, or all Lashon Yochad, or Chatzan Vizag. I mean, why confuse us by Lamayokata Katavakumana Bikharzanim Lashon Rabbi Vadzag Lashon Yochid? That is weird. Shomamina the Midrash Bay also. So we've now got Lamidrash Bay Klalu Prat from the structure. Vikanami Lamidrash Bay Achyokashne Khatsanim Vizag. Varabi Alazar, the Darish Miat Variba. So how do we know when to darshana prat klalu prat minale? Omre Miavu. Well, not going to Ikra. V'chiyitain ish areyo chamor o shor o se. So again, our drush, the way we learned it, was like the Tosfos, which is the chiyitain. All of that is the klal, and then the yitain. There was yitain going on all of them. V'chol klal be'emal ishmor chazar v'porat. That's how we learned. So that's a prat klal prat, yatada, elakena prat. Rava Omar, nafkele mi'aykra is another example. Ve'im min hatson. Now min, that's a prat. Hatson, that's a klal, kwasim v'izim. It's all of this as opposed to the rabbanan, is not a klal prat a klal, it's a prat klal prat. And yatada, so you have a prat klal prat, yatada, elakena prat. Omrle reviewed him iskarta l'rova. The Leilef Minad Deinkra, why don't you start at the beginning of the Sefer, huh? Min Abeima, it's the same thing. Min, that's Prat, Abeima is a Klal, Bakar Vatzon, Chazav Prat, Prat Klal, Prat, Yata Daniel, Kena Prat, and this teaches us not a Chayak, Amalei Nasri, because Min, over here, is not what you're saying. Min Ha'ilek Alamishma, Min Abdi'im Yata. Hava mina habeima includes chaya anyway, because chaya beklal beima. So why would mina beima mean not chaya? It could just as well have been saying mina beima vechaya. Omale, don't try to give me that chaya beklal beima. In this case, look at the continuation. Aktiv bakar vetzon. You see anything about chaya there? Vahavele prat chlal uprat. Yatadan elai kena prat. Uminon dahachyu the Tanya. V'natata ha-kezi b'chol asher ta'ava nafshecha klal. Babakar v'atzon v'yayin v'shecha prat. V'chol asher tishalcha nafshecha chazar v'kalal. By the way, if you don't hold to the Rabbeinu Peretz, can you think of a nicer klal prat klal anywhere in the Torah than this one? In each of the klalim, it not only says a general rule, it says whatever the heck you want. I mean, that is like klal ultimate. On both levels. And you've got Prat ultimate. I mean, what a list. It's such a beautiful example that gives you so many alternatives that you don't need necessarily Rabbeinu Peretz to say, what the heck are we looking for? I mean, there is something beautiful about the example. So, yeah, Tataniel again, a prat, ma prat, before is primi, primi, gidule karkav, ko primi, primi, gidule karkav. Michte, a klal, u prat, a klal, ke in prat, a dainan, klal abatra, my ahani. How obviously, ahani lo sufik, on the domila. Okay, and prat, klal, u prat, ke in a prat, dainan. So, what's the point of the prat, abatra, my ahani? Because, ila prat, abatra, as we saw before, hava min an asa klal, musaf ala prat. Umichte, train klali uprate, or train prati uklole, is still dainina keina prata dainina, right? So then, maika beni beni. Well, ika dilu tartin klali uprata I ika prata de damile afilu bechatzad marbina. Whereas, train prati beklala, I ika prata de dami vishneit study marbina. But bechatzad lo marbinan.